not the only one here tonight. Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed? Take a bullet for being free. Screaming, what the fuck in my TV? For telling me, yeah, you're telling me. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love, the red and white and the blue? With the lives they gave, God bless the USA. I'm not the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue. Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone.
Amen, brother. Welcome back to the Forgotten Conservative. This is your Independence Day version, Circus 2023. You know, when I was a little kid growing up, up through teenage years, I don't know at what point it stopped, but anytime you watched a baseball game or a football game on TV, and here, you know, we had games here locally, you always saw somebody holding up a sign, John 3:16. And if you turn into your Bibles which many of us know John 3:16, pretty common. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that was everywhere. You know, at some point, and I don't recall when, late teenager, it started fading out. You didn't see the person, you know, and it could have been, it could have coincided with people or stadiums not allowing signs and so forth. Looking back now that I'm sitting here speaking fluently, thinking, or I should say fluidly thinking, probably the reason you don't see a whole lot of signs anymore in the stadiums is probably because of that. Because of that religious message that they just said, hey, you know, because it was always behind home plate or behind the field goal post, you know, for an extra point. It was always in a prominent location that you saw some dude holding up the sign, John 3:16. And so, I never thought about that. You know, this is flabbergasting that as I'm sitting here coming to you with a specific message, that it just dawns on me that the reason you really don't see a whole lot of signs anymore in baseball or football, of course, I don't watch. I'm done with the NFL. I'm done with Major League Baseball. But nevertheless, prior to that, you just didn't see a whole lot of signs anymore. And I would dare say, because you had that individual that was always in the key camera angle with the John 3:16 sign, that they just said, you know what? We don't want to see that on the TV. We don't want to spread that message. And so we're just going to banish all, we're going to cancel all signage. So, in a not so subtle segue, I wanted to draw a comparison between Trump and Biden. Now, if you've heard me before, you know that my past prediction is I don't expect either one of them to be on the ballot for 2024. But as of now, they're the front runners. And, you know, Trump's leading the GOP by a whole bunch. This is, you know, I'm not going to do a Trump impersonation. But that John 3:16 was kind of sticking in my craw, and I open up the Bible and I'm thinking, okay, how can I draw a comparison or show the differences? Well, it wasn't very much further than John 3:16. So if you open up your Bible to John 3:19, sounds a little bit like this. This is the verdict. Now, I'm reading from the NIV version. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And this is 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done through God. So let's unpack that. It starts out, this is the verdict. This is the truth. This is the law. This is human nature. This is history. This is the way that man acts. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So let's compare just that sentence, just that verse. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness. They love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds are evil. Does that not hearken the sounds of cover up, of dirty deeds behind the scenes? Everyone who does evil hates the light. So think about 2015, 2016, with the Trump, Crooked Hillary campaigns, and Trump saying, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. Hidden server, secret server. You know, but yet they're accusing him already fermenting, already, you know, heating up the grease to cook the eggs of Trump and the Russian collusion hoax story. But who's in the light? Trump is in the light. Who's in the darkness? The Hillary campaign. Everyone who does evil hates the light. You pay a Russian operative, foreign national, through three different paywalls, hidden, secretive, to block, to hide your motives. So if you're paying Perkins Coie and this dude, you're filtering all this money through different channels and venues, what are you doing? You're operating in the darkness. And what is John telling us? John is telling us, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And what is Trump doing? But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done through God. So, Circus 2019, with the call to the Ukrainian president, trying to find out what's going on. Why is there all this darkness? Let's bring it to the light. And Trump says, it's a perfect phone call. And what do? They impeach him. I've said, I voted for Trump twice. I did not want him to run again. And I've said Trump could serve in much better capacities than running this cycle. I think Trump is a good man. I think by and large, his motives are pure. But his time is past. Now, I have said, you know, John Adams is my favorite among the founding fathers. He wasn't a framer, he was a founder. I've since been researching, studying, whatever, about his son, John Quincy Adams, who was the 6th president of the United States. And part of that was trying to whittle down when the modern Democrat Party actually started. Because I've had too many people that I've engaged with say, you know, the switch from the Democrats, you know, they never admit that the KKK was a militarized wing of the Democrat Party. They never quite admit that it was a Southern Democrat Party that was pro-slavery. You know, virtually none of them have any idea about the 1924 convention, Democrat convention in New York, the Klan Bank, Margaret Sanger, eugenics, trying to weed out the dumb ones, retarded, slow, blacks. That's how Planned Parenthood got started. And that they, you know, again, rarely do any of them know that Hitler lauded Sanger's research and used her research to legitimize his research into the perfect Aryan race, i.e. Aryan nation. But that he used her research to legitimize what he was doing. But they all say, you know, at some point there was the switch, that the Democrats just one day they woke up and realized, oh, slavery's bad, racism's bad, discrimination is bad, segregation is bad, and we're just going to start loving black people now and fighting for, you know, black rights. And so when they woke up and they went to a microphone and they said, hey, we woke up collectively, we all of us magically had this dream all together, a shared dream and vision that we've been on the wrong side of history for the last 100 years, and now we want to be on the right side. So now we are for black people. Now we like black people. Now we want black people to succeed. That somehow the Republicans, in their adversarial state of mind said, well, dadgum, we've been for black people since our foundation. Our Republican Party, our first Republican National Convention, was to promote the abolition movement and the freeing of all American slaves. But you know what? Since you woke up and you had this epiphany that slavery and the blacks deserve this and that, we're just going to go from creating and founding one of the two major political parties that we're going to go from founding our party to say that we believe in the Declaration of all independence, or the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, and that all men have freedom inherently upon birth, to now we're just going to start being racist. Just because you had an epiphany, we're going to go in the opposite direction. And so my question is, when, at what point? Name the point. Oh, they attempt to. And I love it when they do. I love it. One of the reasons I love it is because I'm old enough to remember in the 2020 Democrat primaries, in the debates, that Kamala Harris was the only one to single out Joe Biden and to say, hey, wait a minute, dude. Back in the 70s, you were pro-segregation. Not only were you pro-segregation, but some of those Democrat senators that were crafting laws and trying, in essence, paraphrasing, trying to keep the black man down, you was right there helping craft that legislation. And your own record, you are on record quoting that you believed in segregating, did not believe in busing whites or into black neighborhoods or blacks into white neighborhoods. Your own record as fighting for those causes. Kamala Harris was the only one to raise that issue. Now, conversely, she attacked one of her own and exposed the truth and was promptly kicked out of the race. I say kicked out euphemistically, but she received no support, so she had to withdraw. But just that fact alone, that she went after Joe Biden, that's when I made the prediction that she would be his vice president nomination. That's who he would select. Because as we learned from Francis Ford Coppola, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. So being that she was the only one to raise this issue, well, it was obvious. She was the one you had to bring into the fold. She was the one that you had to bring in close to the vest. because the rest of them didn't have the balls to do it. Whether or not they knew about it, whether or not they cared about it, they just didn't have the political balls to do it, to raise it. Because look at Pete Buttigieg, whatever. Okay? I don't even know if he was alive back then. And I can promise you, based on his track record, he has no sense of history, no true sense of history beyond the date with which he was born. None. Other than platitudes, euphemisms, you know, just crap that has no substance. But he has no significant ties to true history of anything beyond the date that he was born. Now, in all fairness, that's true with most people. Most people, their history, if they have any proclivities or fascinations with history, most people start with the day they're born forward. It's rare that people want to go back. Doesn't make people any better or worse or anything. It's not a value scale. It's just used as illustrative to demonstrate that somebody like Buttigieg has no concept of anything beyond his own personal history. And has no desire to learn. That's what's, for somebody like me, that's what's so frustrating. Because when I run into these people, you know, one in particular, and, you know, I think I may have mentioned him before, you know, the big switch. All right, brother, let's talk about the switch. Tell me when and where. Tell me who was the mastermind. Give me within a decade of the switch. Because I can tell you, when the modern Democrat Party started, because for the first, 1787 was when the Constitution was ratified. Adams was elected in 1796. So 1787, I don't know if I stated that right. I'm sitting here, I'm looking straight at Dutch, trying to get my facts straight. But 1787, the Constitution was ratified. 1797 is when Adams was took office, was inaugurated. 3 John Quincy Adams, then you had Andrew Jackson, and who followed him, maybe Martin Van Buren, if memory serves. And I believe it's about that time that the modern Democrat Party was actually started. Because before, it wasn't strictly ideological. There were many factors that came into play. But I believe, you know, Martin Van Buren, who served as a vice president of Jackson, wanted it, created it, obviously for his own personal gain, but to be along ideological lines, because there were so many issues. And you would have politicians, whether it was in the House or the Senate, that would agree on this thing, but not agree on this thing. And for the most part, they were all together, but they had differing ideas. And Van Buren was like, okay, we need, in order for me to elevate, I need to create this on ideological lines. And so that's when the modern Democrat Party started. So if you take that, '30s, I think Jackson left 1836, I believe it was, from memory. Fast forward, John C. Calhoun, who I've talked about, is probably the most evil American politician in history. Just pure out evil. He was coincidentally vice president to both John Quincy Adams and vice president to Andrew Jackson. Ended up resigning from the Andrew Jackson administration. In fact, they had a confrontation. Back then, they had these, like a ball, like a party, you know, and congressmen, senators were there. In today's time, think about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But it wasn't a media event. It was a political event. And so I forget the precise topic, but I think Jackson rose up and said something. And then John C. Calhoun rose up. I think it may have been about succession. Don't quote me. And you know, said his speech. And so at the end of every speech, it was a toast. You know, you take a drink, you toss your drink back. So by the time that it got to President Jackson and then Vice President Calhoun, you know, people are, you know, they're inebriated. But Calhoun had gotten the better of Jackson in that particular toast, in that event. And he ended up resigning over it as the vice president. The vice president resigned. John C. Calhoun resigned. Now, again, he was a very evil man. He was arguably brilliant. I'm going to give him that benefit of doubt. I don't know why, but he was a very evil man. Anybody that goes out of their way to justify slavery is evil. Excuse me, I had to get a sip of water. What's that, Dutch? Well, you know, it's clear. Looks like water. Well, okay. That's neither here nor there, Dutch. It's clear, it's ice, and it looks like water. So, dadgummit, I'm drinking water. Forgive my producer for butting in. But, so you see that this modern, you know, Democrat Party, how it evolves. And that's why we look back on history. That's why history is so important. I talk about culture issues and these squish Republicans who can't stand up. I mean, what was the biggest, if I'm in New York City or Huntsville, Alabama, or Louisville, Kentucky, or Glendale, California, or, you know, Green, Maine, and I'm taking surveys, and I say, our culture, you know, just picking people off the street, are cultural issues important to you? Yes or no? Okay. So, today, what is the biggest cultural issue, the most important cultural issue to you as an individual? Oh, okay. Check that box. In the last 15, 20 years, what is the biggest, most impactful cultural issue to you personally as an individual? Okay, check that box. Now, in all of American history, and today is July 4th, 2023, we're 3 years removed. Is that accurate? 23, 24, 25, 26. Yes. So we're 3 years removed from the 250th anniversary birthday of our great nation. So I want you to think about this long and hard in all of our collective history in the United States of America. What is the most significant cultural issue that you can think of? I would bet you a dollar to a donut that virtually none of them would say slavery. None of them. I mean, think about it. What is it? What is slavery? But it is a cultural issue. It was a cultural issue. If it were not a cultural issue, So when it comes to the standard of history, and somebody says, when did it happen? When did, you know, they say definitively, oh, well, yeah, you're a Republican. Yeah, that's okay, that's fine. But back in the old days, you know, there was a big switch that happened. It's not that hard to do what I do, to research. I can't even say that it's active research. It's more out of curiosity. But to prove them false. You know, abortion. The Democrats did not suddenly become pro, quote unquote, pro-choice because of human rights or women's health care, that effing, I want to say the bad word, euphemism. They encouraged abortion because the Democrats used to have a joke. How do you stop a black man from screwing? Make him have an orgasm. Because the belief was once he had the orgasm, he was done. And so that's the sexual education, the alternative methods of bringing a black man to orgasm. And I know I don't know how we got to this point, but anything to alleviate the black man from inseminating the black woman. But if it did happen, guess what? We got Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood to take care of it. Because guess what? Back in the 20s, what's that, Dutch? Yes, sir. The 1920s. Thank you. I gotta give credit to Dutch. In the 1920s, it was all about eugenics. What is eugenics? Streamlining, you know, races. If you're not up to par, we need to cull the herd. Eugenics, that's what Hitler practiced. So you're talking less than 100 years ago. 1924 Democrat Convention, the Klan Bank. Margaret Sanger had a speech on the floor. We're 1920 or 2023. We're less than 100 years from eugenics, from trying to cull the herd of the black race. So in the last 100 years, Mr. You know, switcheroo, ditzy-doo, when did the switch happen? Tell me precisely when did the switch happen. They cannot tell you precisely when the switch happened because there has never been a switch. look at every prominent Republican in modern history, going back to the 90s, to 91, Clarence Thomas, Ford. Colin Powell. They despised Colin Powell up until Barack Obama hit the scene. And Colin Powell just did whatever he did. You know, Tim Scott, Ben Carson, Larry Elder. Larry Elder, who ran against Gavin Newsom in the California recall, I think it was The View, one of those quack pot, just retarded, stupid, ignorant women. And it doesn't matter which one, I could care less. I can give two shits which one of them said it. But said that Larry Elder was the black face of white supremacy. What the mother effing blankety effing blank 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 did you just say? Could you repeat that, you yenta whatever, oh, bad word? Oh, yeah, sure. Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. He's a black dude. He's a Republican. Not sure that Larry Elder is a conservative. I don't know that much about him personally, but he's a black dude. And you're going to sit here and tell me he's the black face of white supremacy? Whatever white supremacy is, which I would contend is a figment of your imagination, because I, you know, 54 years old, I don't recall ever having a conversation about white supremacy. And I'm in the South, and as redneck as you get, you know, I believe duct tape and, you know, twine and ingenuity can fix a whole lot of things. But I ain't never heard no white supremacy talk. I ain't never heard no white supremacy uprising. I ain't never heard no down with the black man, or hang him, or lynch him. I ain't never heard none of that talk. But they're going to say Larry Elder's the black face of white supremacy? Just as I said, I could go and debate the 49 senators, Democrat senators, that voted for abortion up to and including after birth. And I would not need to take one bit of notes with me. And I would do it as long as you paid me what my normal wage is. I'd do it in a heartbeat. No pun intended. I'd go on The View and I would debate them blankety blanks all day long and twice on Sunday. Because it's all about platitudes, it's all about feels, how you feel. And remember what I said earlier. You go walking through a cemetery and you look at a man's headstone or a woman's headstone. It doesn't say what their pronouns were. It doesn't say what they felt. It says this man was a good worker, a good father. This woman was a good mama. Loved her kids, loved her God. Was faithful to her husband, etc. Ain't nothing about feeling or pronouns on anybody's headstone. And that's what they pander in. That's how they make their living. That the devil lives in the darkness. And those men who walk with sin walk in the darkness. That is man's nature, to reside in the darkness. I'm imploring you to step into the light. Make your own mind up. Trump's biggest thing, my biggest thing with Trump, 2016, he got into that race. He had a 20-year history of flirting and talking about America and believing in American greatness and American exceptionalism. And even though I didn't support him early on, when he walked down that escalator, you know, America, the United States, is what took his hand and led him down that escalator. You fast forward 7 years, roughly. Trump's left America, metaphorically. Trump's now more about Trump than America. I'm not criticizing the dude. I'm not putting him down. This loyalty issue. Who gives a flying blankety blank frog's hind end? If you're in the race, you got wronged. I believe you got wronged. I believe you got robbed. I believe you got hornswoggled in 2020. But I ain't got jack shit to do with today. If you're in it for this country, check your loyalty at the effing door. Because I fully believe, now I'm not speaking for DeSantis, but I fully believe DeSantis is in it for the country. Not because he thinks he's this or that. I think DeSantis is in it for the country because of its effing kids. And his kids' kids. Trump's kids are grown. He's got grandkids. Anyway, I'm going to conclude this. Excuse me. Probably shit post. But nevertheless, now listen to it. Who knows whether it'll ever see the light of day. But if it does, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for the listeners that I have. Thank you for playing along and joining me on the Forgotten Conservative.